So I'm delighted to be here today with a member of our sixth form, Justin. This is the first of, we hope, a series of podcasts where myself, colleagues, students will be engaging in conversations, which we have all the time, but we want people outside of the foundation and also other students within the foundation to hear what we want to talk about and what we think is important to talk about. And I'm really, really pleased that our first conversation is going to be around an event that was hosted at Stephen Peirce Foundation last weekend called the Model United Nations. Now, I'd like to have the person who is the expert around this to explain the Model United Nations, why he was interested in it, and also just to share a little bit of the fact that he's from Germany. So, Justin.
Yes, that's right. I actually come from a small town in the Alps in the south of Germany, and it's close to the border of Austria. It's called Berchtesgaden. And I actually moved here to the UK about 5 years ago now and lived ever since then here in Cambridge. And no, I mean, it was a great opportunity to run the Model United Nations last weekend. And it all started off by the previous year when we had the ever first version of CAMMUN. And we were chairing at that part, so me and my colleagues, we were chairing during that conference. And afterwards decided we actually really enjoyed it and we really liked it. And I think it helped us also grow as a person. So we decided we wanted to continue it the next year. And that's why we decided to actually run the Model United Nations, because we wanted to bring, again, the joy back to the people who came last year and also to other people within the sixth form, but also across Europe. And
how many schools came, Justin?
Well, we did have about 16 different schools coming. And we had a couple of local schools here from the UK and from Cambridge. But we also had schools from Turkey, from Russia, from Spain, from the Netherlands. So we really had a wide variety of different cultures and different
And did you identities. Find they could all speak perfect English?
Well, the majority actually did. Some of them spoke really good English. And I think some of them actually spoke better English than most British people. But yeah, no, I mean, obviously there were some people who English was a bit more limited.
Yeah.
And obviously at the beginning, if you've never done a conference before, you're a bit more nervous. And you obviously, if it's not your first language, you're a bit hesitant. But I think towards the end, everybody spoke a very good English to keep up the debate and keep it at a very high level.
That is really impressive. So I've thought the actual question you set yourself was absolutely fascinating. It was combating the rise of nationalism in an increasingly hostile world. Why did you guys decide upon that? And what did you learn about this theme during the conference?
Well, originally we started it off last year, September. So we just had kind of the Trump being voted in as a president, and we had the kind of Brexit ordeal going on in the background. And we said, well, really what the predominant theme at the moment is that problem of nationalism and the rise of populist parties in Europe. And I mean, it wasn't only Europe, it was America. Yeah. We could see similar trends. And so we decided to focus our theme of that on that and on that topic, because we believed it was very important to actually bring people together of different cultures, and rather than isolating them and having a kind of like nationalist spirit where, oh, only if you're German or only if you're from the UK, you're allowed to be in this group. We wanted to have an open range of different cultures here in Cambridge. And I think, I mean, the Model UN is really the perfect way to do this. So we decided to do that. And then over as the time grew, or as we came closer to the conference, it started getting more and more important, because we were getting closer to the Brexit date. Mm. And I mean, every day the headlines about something new happening in the UK. And therefore we decided to actually embrace that theme very much in our conference. And we realized that within the debates, we had so many cultures and so many different people from different countries, and everybody got actually along very well. And that whole idea of kind of integrating and talking to different communities is very important, because we then get that feeling that we are not one nation, we are a lot of people, we're all from different societies, but we are still very similar. We all have the same ideas, the same problems in life. So I think it was very important to actually talk about the theme and address it in our conference.
Do you think I mean, I absolutely agree with you that it's what the murdered MP Joe Cox said, that we have more in common than makes us than different. But do you think that we should try in the future maybe to have certain sessions where another language is the language of communication? Because it does trouble me that these guys came to our country and we expected them to speak English. I know we're in England, but at the same time, how many of our students would go to a Model United Nations conference elsewhere and they'll be speaking in the language of that country?
I think it's a very interesting idea. I think the main problem with that is English is such a primarily spoken or widely spoken language around the world. I mean, most schools have English or are teaching English as a second language from the early years. So it's the easiest language really for everyone to communicate in. How I think it is a very interesting idea to maybe try it out in a different language. For example, a lot of Spanish people who were there. I mean, Spanish is said very widely spoken in a lot of South American countries and obviously here in Spain and Europe. So that would be a very interesting language that we could have debates in, and especially since we teach Spanish here in the school as well as a GCSE or as A-level or IB, it would be very interesting for the students to participate in a debate, not only to improve the language, but also to kind of get an idea of how other cultures think, because it's not always the same in English or in Spanish, and you often there can be misunderstandings if you try to translate from one into the other language.
I think you're absolutely right, because I wrote a blog recently actually about the importance of languages, and it isn't just about the communication, it's about the understanding of each other. So I think there is a broader discussion to be had around languages, but what I love about the Model United Nations, at least it's taking that first step of putting people in the same room and making them be part of the solution rather than just feeling they're part of a problem.
Exactly, you know,
and celebrating the diversity, which I think is a really, really good thing. It was interesting when the Model United Nations, the CAM MUN was set up last year. We didn't know whether or not it was going to be successful, but I think it's been hugely successful. How do you think the city of Cambridge helps? Do you think that's a factor in our success?
I think it is, does play into our hands, because Cambridge is a very widely known city just because of the university, obviously. And I did hear of a couple of students who actually came because they heard the name Cambridge in it. So it was quite a big factor in the thing. But I mean, similarly, other places, I mean, the UN in New York is successful because it's New York. You have the UN headquarters there. So obviously, everybody uses that, the kind of unique selling point to their advantage. And I think just because Cambridge, we have all the resources, that makes also our conference more successful in the way that, for example, in our opening ceremony, we had a guest speaker who was a fellow at Cambridge University and who is doing her PhD at the moment. So we can see that we can use the resources we have available in Cambridge to bring that into our conference and make it even of a higher standard than would otherwise be possible.
I spoke to her at the
Leonie,
Thank you, Leonie. On the day, and I said I thought it would be really, really good if we had people like her involved in all of those different discussions as well. So again, you're adding an academic input and some research, and hopefully, therefore, the participants would get more out of it and they go away having learnt something quite significant. So you're right; the resources of Cambridge are boundless. Actually, we've just got to tap into them, and I think you guys did a brilliant job with that this year. I really do. Given your experience of it. And, you know, the next Secretary General tips up. What would be your advice to them?
Well, first of all, I do have to tell them it is a lot of work and they have to be really committed to it, because you will spend a lot of hours trying to work out things and organize things. And I think the best tip is really to be very organized, know exactly who is coming, who is going, having the names all evenly written out. But I think also I would give them a tip to enjoy it, because it is really a learning experience. And in the end of the day, your conference will never be 100% successful. You always have a small bits of pieces that you have to be sorting out during the conference. But that is the whole point of the learning process. I mean, this for most people, we have never organized such a big event as a student with more than 200 people coming. So obviously it's a challenge. And in essence, I think really they should enjoy themselves and make the most of what they have and most of that experience. So I think
And you guys, you actually did an amazing job. I think it's fair to say any event in the world, things go wrong, but it's all about how you make sure nobody notices, really. And I don't think anybody noticed it over the weekend. And the other question I want to ask is, this is obviously still quite new for the foundation, but from what I'm hearing from you, it's giving you a platform, your generation, if you like, at the school, a platform to sort of share ideas, to be challenging. Is this something every school should be made to participate in some shape or form, either as the hosts or as people just coming along to the conference?
Well, I definitely think it's a very enriching experience. Obviously the organization part, you have less to do with the debates, and you actually get some very important skills, such as knowing how to organize, how to make sure that everything is included in that package that you offer all the people that are coming to our school. And on the other hand, even as just participating is very interesting, because you get your students out there, they start to understand that there are different ideas, different values, different cultures even. And I think it's very important, because it doesn't only show them what the problems are in the world today, but it also gives them an impression of how to debate things in a way that is meaningful, and how to deliver a message across in a meaningful manner so other people can actually understand and value your opinion.
And what sort of things were you debating over the weekend?
So we had, obviously we had seven committees, and we had committees ranging from WTO to human rights and...
You have plastics as well, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. So we did one about debatable the plastics and plastic use. We did some questions about human trafficking, I believe.
What's really interesting to me is that because of Brexit in this country, we don't talk about any of these issues you're talking about really in a meaningful way. So is that what the MUN Model United Nations can do for young people? It gives them a vehicle whereby they can stand away from the Westminster cacophony of noise that's going on and actually talk about the things that are going to matter to your future.
I think, yes, that's definitely a very important element of the Model United Nations in general. And especially because we don't only look at stuff that is in the news at the moment, but there's widespread other ideas and problems that we need to solve, such as the environment. And what was it, on Friday last week, we had that big day, not only in the UK, but across the world, where people and young children and students went to demonstrate about climate change. And I think that's one thing that is especially neglected in the news or by governments in general. So you have this disproportionate focus on Brexit or on Trump.
On issues.
Yeah, exactly.
Short-term issues rather than long-term.
Exactly.
And what's really powerful about the climate change movement is it was all started by one girl in a country, Norway? Scandinavian country, where she basically refused to go into school.
Exactly,
to make a point. And that one girl started this movement, which is why I think what we're talking about here, the Model United Nations, there is power in standing up for your beliefs.
Exactly. So you need to use the young students. And often, we are the ones who are going to, in 20, 30 years, are the ones who are going to be in charge, in essence, and the ones who have to take over the responsibility. So we might as well start making a change now.
Do you think you'll do a better job?
That's a very good question. Who knows?
Yeah.
Most likely, probably not. But there's always one or two people who will in the end make a difference. And even if we just inspire these one or two people who decide to make a change, then in the end, it will have been worth it.
Exactly. Do you want to be one of these people, Justin?
I'll try my very best.
Well, I think really the Model United Nations, the work you have done with your colleagues, is absolutely brilliant. And we've got a really strong foundation on which to build now with our students as they come through the foundation. But I think more than anything, it is about being a values-led school. Our students demonstrate that day to day, and the passion that you show towards this and the fact you're very well organised about it as well. I think it fills me with a bit of hope for the future anyway. So Justin, thank you very much.
Thank you.